The first reading for today comes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. That's the prophet Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 through 34. You can find that reading on page 735 in the Pew Bible in front of you or on the screen. In this reading, we hear the prophet Jeremiah speaking of a new covenant that God will establish with his people. This covenant will be written on our hearts, and we will be God's people as a result. Listen now to God's word to you today. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their heart, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sins no more. Here ends the first reading for this morning.
Second scripture reading comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Traditionally, I say a few words, then we read the scripture, then I say a few more words. We're going to read the scripture first today because this is the Covenant Renewal Service Sunday. If you do not have a bulletin, ushers, just head up. If you don't have a bulletin and if you don't have a Covenant Renewal Service inside that bulletin, please, ushers, raise your hand if you will. Well, actually, they're in your bulletin. They're in the bulletin, so you need to run out. I'm going to pray. You can run out while I'm praying and then run back in if you don't have a bulletin and if you don't have a Covenant Renewal Service, because we're going to be making our way through that. And I'm going to explain a little bit about it so that you're not caught off guard and you're not sure what's going on. Boy, these Presbyterians have weird sermons. Once a year, if this is your first Sunday worshiping with us, welcome. We don't do this every Sunday, just so you know. But if this is your first Sunday, I pray it's not your last. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Listen now to God's word to you. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, now love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. Grass withers, the flower falls, and the word of the Lord, well, it endures forever. And that word is the good news that was announced to you. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, on this first Sunday of the year, as we're about to renew our covenant before you, we ask you that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts and also the words of all of our mouths, that they would be worthy and acceptable to your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The last five Sundays, we have been looking at the prophet Isaiah. We have had real live images, or maybe not all live, but at least we've had images that are concrete and are able to remind us of what the scripture is telling us. And each of those Advent sermons, we were hopefully able to walk away with something that remained upon our hearts about the Word of God. But each of those Advent scriptures also talked about that Jesus is coming back. And the promise of what it's going to be like when he comes back. And those images that we have remind us that it's going to be so different. It's going to be such a wonderful reality when Jesus comes and takes us with him. That's what all those images really were supposed to leave us with this anticipation for when he does come back. What we read in Jeremiah is another promise that we find similar to Isaiah. It's another promise related to Jesus coming back and taking us with him. Although this time Jeremiah tells us that when Christ comes back, when the Messiah comes back, he's going to set up a new covenant with us that's going to be written on our hearts. And the image that he gives us is of a bride, that's us, the church, is known as the bride of Christ, and God is the groom. But the defining aspect of that covenant, if you want to turn now to Jeremiah again, and specifically look at verse 34, if you would, the last verse of what we read, the defining aspect of that covenant is what we read at the very last line. I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. So the covenant that we as 21st century Christians today have with our Savior is one that Jeremiah mentions. It's one that reminds us that our sins are forgiven. Folks, no cute stories today, sorry. Just the fact. And this first Sunday of the year, we're going to begin it like we have for the last two Sundays. This is for the last two New Year Sundays. That didn't come out right. Every year since I've been here, we've done the covenant renewal service, and this is the third time that we've done it. This is the third time that we've reminded ourselves of what it means to be in a covenant with our God. It's that covenant written upon our hearts by the blood of Jesus Christ, which was shed upon the cross for our sin. But in order to renew our covenant this year, which is true every year, the first step that we have to take is to recognize that we are sinners. If we don't recognize that we're sinners, then there's really no need for a covenant. If we don't think that we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, then there's no need for a Savior. There's no need for a Redeemer. We all deserve condemnation. That's the bottom line of who we are. We all deserve to die without grace and without the love which is given to us by Jesus in his great sacrifice. We are sinners in the hands of a loving God. But sinners, nonetheless, don't skip over that first part and jump right to the loving God aspect. Yes, we serve a loving God, but we have to recognize that we are sinners. And this covenant that Jeremiah alludes to in chapter 31 reminds us that we are given new life in Jesus to cover those sins. Let's go to 1 Peter. You look at verse 24 specifically in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. And this is a verse that we've heard, unfortunately, quite a few times over the last week and a half. Verse 24 tells us, all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, or the flower fails. We are reminded again that we're frail. Our bodies are frail. Some of us don't need to be reminded of that. We know it very, very well. As we enter the new year on the heels of three beloved members who have gone into paradise just over these last week and a half, and then others within our family who have lost mothers, who have lost sisters, who have lost loved ones as well, this aspect of the flesh being like grass and the grass withering, we know it well. It's imprinted on our minds this Sunday. But 1 Peter tells us, if you look again at verse 23 in 1 Peter, that we have been born anew through the living and enduring Word of God. And what we're going to do today is remind ourselves, first of all, that we're sinners, and then make our way through the covenant renewal service and remind ourselves that we are forgiven of that sin through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is our third year doing this, so for most of you, this should be familiar. But for many of you, it may not be so familiar. And for many of you, even though you do know it, you're still a little uncomfortable with liturgy that is so high. Liturgy where you are actually a part of it in every single sentence, in every single aspect of it. And it could be a little unsettling. If nothing else, it's going to keep you awake. That's a guarantee. And this liturgy, this service, is geared to those who take their relationship with their Savior Jesus Christ seriously. So if you don't take it seriously, then you can tune out. You don't have to follow along. Let me give you a little bit of a history. And again, I gave this history last year, so it may be old news to you, or you may have heard it and you may have forgotten it. In 1775, John Wesley, he used this covenant renewal service that we're using today. Credit goes to him for the content, but 100 years before that, in 1675, a Puritan, Richard Alleyne, so a more reformed Christian like we are, he's actually the one who wrote down some words that Wesley used. Wesley added to them. Every year, Wesley would use this within the church. If you remember, he began the Methodist movement. And from today, that Methodist church is a part of that. We're Presbyterians, I know that. But we can use things that other churches use, especially when they're really good things. I think this is a really good thing. And what Wesley said in his diary was that during the services, many mourned before God and were comforted. It was a usual time of remarkable blessing. He also went on to say it was an occasion for a variety of spiritual experiences. I don't know that we have ever had a greater blessing, he said. It can be a powerful service if you allow it to be. I'm going to encourage you to take out the booklet now. If you don't have one, please, you can get up and walk out now. No one will bother you. And come and sit right back down. Let's open it up, and as you look at it, you'll find that the heart of the service is on page 3 of your service, is in what is called the covenant prayer. Leading up to that is an opportunity, again, for us to recognize our sinfulness before God. But our covenant prayer is really the time when we come before God and renew that covenant. You see in parentheses that people may kneel or bow if they so choose. We are not used to that. But it's allowed. It's encouraged if you feel that that's where you feel the Spirit leading you. No one's going to look at you strange, and if they do, I'm going to talk to them. This is something that I really want to make sure that you feel at home with your Savior, that you're communicating with God in such a way that it's personal. It's even one-on-one, even though we're within a communal context. Remember, we will be held responsible for that in which we take part. If we take part in this, we're going to be held responsible for that. So approach the service with reverence and seriousness and also with an open heart. You'll notice also on the last page, on page 5. Again, this is what we've done in the last 3 years. There's a place for your signature and a place for your date. I encourage you not to sign it here in this setting. If you pray the prayer and if you make your way through the covenant service in a way that it has impact upon you, take this home go through it again on your own, by yourself. As Matthew states, go to your closet, lock yourself in, and then sign it and put the day on it. And then put it in a very visible place in your house so that every single day of your life, you can remind it, every single day of this next year, you can be reminded of that covenant that either you made for the first time in your life, some of you that may be the case, or this covenant that you have renewed with your Savior. And you know that the first Sunday in January next year, we're going to be doing this again. Now, what I don't want that to imply to you is that I can sin as much as I want because next year we're going to do this again. That's not the implication. What was it? Luther who said, if you're going to sin, sin boldly. Because no, that's not the implication. The implication is that it reminds you so that those urges or those impulses that may lead you to sin would be cut off when you see this hanging in your bedroom mirror or on your refrigerator or wherever you decide to put it. So grateful, like every first Sunday of the year, we're going to be taking part in communion together. This year, like we did last year, we have within our baptismal, I was curious about this, how many of you here either were baptized in this church, have a family member who's been baptized in this church? Raise your hand if that's the case. Okay, that's just about all of you. This baptismal font is one that you have a close connection to as a result. This church, these people. Within the font, you will find a blue bead. We'll be taking communion by intinction, which means we'll be coming up. And as you come up, before you take the elements, we encourage you to take a bead to remind you of your baptism. To remind you of that time when that covenant with your Savior was the first time that it was made. Let us now renew our promises before Almighty God. And please follow along. You'll notice I will be reading in the plain script, and wherever there is bold, you are to read. Let's turn our hearts and minds now to Almighty God as we renew our covenant before Him. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Christian life is redeemed from sin and consecrated to God. Through baptism, we have entered this life and have been admitted into the new covenant, the covenant of which Jesus Christ is the mediator. He sealed it with His own blood so that it would last forever. On the one side, God promises to give us new life in Christ, the source and the perfecter of our faith. On the other side, on our side, we are pledged to live no more for ourselves, but only for Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave Himself for us. From time to time, we renew our covenant with God, especially when we affirm the baptismal covenant and gather at the Lord's table. Today, we meet as the generations before us have met, to renew the covenant that binds us to God. Let us make this covenant of God our own. So today, commit yourselves to Christ as His servants. Give yourselves to Him that you may belong to Him. Christ has many services to be done, and some are more easy and honorable, but others are more difficult and disgraceful. And some are suitable to our inclinations and interests, others are contrary to both. In some we may please Christ and please ourselves. But then there are other works where we cannot please Christ except by denying ourselves. And it's necessary, therefore, that we consider what it means to be a servant of Christ. Let us, therefore, go to Christ and pray. Let me be your servant under your command. I will no longer be my own. I will give myself your will. Okay. Be satisfied that Christ shall give you your place and your work. Make me what you will. Put myself fully into your put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Let me be full. Let me be empty. Let me have all things. Let me have nothing. I freely and with a willing heart give it all to your pleasure. Christ will be the Savior of none but his servants. He is the source of all salvation to those who obey. Christ will have no servants except by consent. And Christ will not accept anything except full consent to all that he requires. Christ will be all in all, or he will be nothing. Confirm this today by a holy covenant. And to make a covenant, this covenant a reality in your life, listen first to these admonitions. First, set apart some time, more than once, to be spent alone before God, in seeking earnestly God's special assistance and gracious acceptance of you, in carefully thinking through all the conditions of the covenant, in searching your hearts whether you have already freely given your life to Christ. Consider what your sins are. Consider the laws of Christ, how holy, strict, and spiritual they are, and whether you, after having carefully considered them, are willing to choose them all. Be sure you are clear in these matters, and see that you do not lie to God. Second, be serious and in a spirit of holy awe and reverence. Third, claim God's covenant. Rely upon God's promise of giving and grace and strength so you can keep your promise. Trust not your own strength and power. Fourth, resolve to be faithful. You have given to the Lord your hearts. You have opened your mouth to the Lord and you have dedicated yourself to God with God's power. Never go back. And last, be then prepared to renew your covenant with the Lord. Fall down on your knees, lift your hands toward heaven, and open your heart to the Lord as we pray. Let us take a little bit of time and I will begin the prayer. Let us pray together. O righteous God, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, see me as I fall down before you. Forgive my unfaithfulness in not having done your will. For you have promised mercy if I turn to you with my whole heart. God requires that you shall put away all your idols. I hear from the bottom of my heart. Renounce them all, covenanting with you that no known sin shall be allowed in my life. Against your will, I have turned my love toward the world. In your power, I will watch all temptation that will lead me away from you. For my own righteousness is riddled with sin, unable to stand before you. Through Christ, God has offered to be your God again if you would only let him. Before all heaven and earth, I here acknowledge you as my Lord and God. I take you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for my portion, and vow to give up myself, body and soul, as your servant, to serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of my life. God has given the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way and means to coming to God. Jesus, I do here on bended knee accept Christ and sincerely join myself in a covenant with him. O blessed Jesus, I come to you, hungry, sinful, miserable, blind, and naked. unworthy even to wash the feet of your servant. I do hear with all my power, accept you as my Lord and head. I renounce my own worthiness and vow that you are the Lord, my righteousness. I renounce my own wisdom and take you for my only guide. I renounce my own will and take your will as my law. Christ has told you that you must suffer with him. I do here covenant with you, O Christ, to take my lot with you as it may fall. Through your grace I promise that neither life nor death shall part me from you. God has given holy laws as the rule of your life. I do here willingly put my neck under your yoke to carry your burden. All your laws are holy, just, and good. I therefore take them as the rule for my words, thoughts, and actions, promising that I will strive to order my whole life according to your direction and not allow myself to neglect anything I know to be my due. The Almighty God, he searches and he knows your heart. O God, you know that I make this covenant with you today without guile or reservation. Lord, there should be in it. Guide me and help me to set it aright. And now, glory be to you, O God the Father, whom I from this day forward shall look upon as my God and Father. Glory be to you, O God the Son, who have loved me and washed me from my sins in your own blood, and now is my Savior and Redeemer. Glory be to you, O God the Holy Spirit, who by your almighty power have turned my heart from sin to God. O mighty God, the Lord omnipotent, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you have now become my covenant friend, and I, through your infinite grace, have become your covenant servant. So be it, and let the covenant I have made on earth be ratified in heaven. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, each one of us, we have a different relationship with you. For some of us, this covenant renewal service hit us right at home. We really needed that, Lord. Our life may be spinning out of control, it seems, or there are certain elements of our reality now that we don't have a handle on. We're offering it to you now, Lord. We've stubbornly resisted this. And now, Lord, we're laying it before your cross. Take our lot. For others, Lord, we may not be in that position. We may not see the impending crisis. We may not see a time where our life is spiraling out of control right now. So maybe this service had less meaning. For those of us who are like that, Lord, I pray that you will convict us, that you will pierce our heart right now, that your Holy Spirit will wash over us in such a way and that we will be reminded of how short we fall of your glory. We need you desperately. And at times, it's only in those times of desperation that we realize that, Lord. Remind us of that today, especially this first Sunday of the new year, that we can lay before you our entire life. We pray this in your loving name, Lord Jesus. Amen.